imagine you're standing in front of this brand new, like hyper modern skyscraper, and the penthouse is literally paved with solid gold.
Right.
It represents all this wealth and technology we've just never seen before. But then you look closely at the foundation, and you realize this incredible towering structure isn't anchored in bedrock at all.
Oh, definitely not.
It's balancing on like a few rusty nails, miles of duct tape, and a single slightly misspelled sticky note.
And I mean, the moment someone accidentally pulls that sticky note, the entire multi-trillion-dollar building just starts to sway.
Exactly. Welcome to the deep dive. We've got a really special one today, custom tailored for you, our listener, who we like to call the learner.
The big one.
Yeah, we are looking at a stack of tech and cybersecurity intelligence from Taking Aim, and it's dated June 2026. The mission today is to unpack what might honestly be the most consequential week in recent technological history.
Absolutely. It's just a collision of these staggering extremes.
Right. On one side of the spectrum, you have Elon Musk, who just became the first verified trillionaire, and that's through SpaceX's monumental $2 trillion IPO.
Well, you know, simultaneously, the U.S. government physically forced the shutdown of one of the world's most advanced AI models.
Yeah, citing national security. And while all of those titans are clashing, a single character typo just handed hackers the keys to the entire Linux operating system.
It's wild.
It is. So we need to figure out how all these events connect. Because while they seem, completely separate, they paint a very specific picture of the world we're living in right now.
They do. They really point to a singular theme here, which is that the architecture of our digital world is undergoing this violent, rapid evolution.
Yeah.
We are building the future on a foundation that is, frankly, actively crumbling beneath our feet.
So let's start up in that gold penthouse, right? The orbital economy. Wall Street had been waiting for this for years, and SpaceX finally executed the largest initial public offering in human history on the Nasdaq.
And the numbers are.
I mean, they're almost hard to comprehend. It was initially priced at $135 a share, designed to raise $75 billion.
Which is huge on its own.
Right. But demand was so ferocious, it triggered immediate trading halts. It ultimately closed at $161.
Wow.
Yeah, that breached a $2 trillion market cap on day one, officially crowning Elon Musk as the first trillionaire with a net worth hovering around like $1.1 trillion.
The sheer volume of liquidity moving into space is just staggering. But the why is much more important than the what here.
Okay, walk me through that.
Well, people hear SpaceX and they immediately think rockets to Mars, right? But that's a tiny fraction of the story. 40% of that capital, $30 billion, is earmarked for the GigaSat
And
project.
that's the data centers, right?
Exactly. This is a plan to construct orbital AI-powered data centers. And another massive chunk is funding Starlink Gen 4.
Which promises what? Quantum encrypted internet with sub-millisecond latency globally?
Yeah,
Yeah.
exactly.
See, I saw that in the briefing and I had to pause. Orbital data centers.
Yeah.
Walk me through the logic of physically blasting server farms into space. Because, I mean, the launch costs alone must be astronomical, no pun intended.
No, it's a fair question. It actually solves several terrestrial bottlenecks we're facing down here.
Like what?
Well, down here on Earth, AI data centers require massive amounts of land, fresh water for cooling, and they put an unbelievable strain on local power grids.
Right, the energy consumption is insane.
Exactly. But up in orbit, you have unlimited solar power, you have the ambient temperature of space for cooling, and you completely bypass terrestrial grid regulations.
Oh, wow. So space is no longer about, like, government exploration?
No, not at all. It's about orbital logistics, AI infrastructure, and really securing the data pipelines of the future.
That shift in priorities is incredibly obvious when you look at how NASA is reacting.
Oh, yeah.
According to the Kicking Game report, NASA is entirely outsourcing their 2028 Mars EOLIS orbiter mission to a private company, Relativity Space. And Relativity isn't just launching it, they're designing and manufacturing the entire thing end to end.
It's a complete handoff.
It is. And then NASA also commissioned this frantic 9-month emergency mission to rescue the falling Swift Space Telescope. And again, they're using commercial orbital servicing.
Yeah, NASA is effectively becoming a tenant in a commercially owned orbit at this point.
It feels exactly like the building of the Transcontinental Railroad in the 19th century, doesn't it? Private companies are just laying the tracks for the next frontier.
That's a really good way to look at it.
But here's my concern with that. If one entity controls the heavy lift capacity, the satellite internet, and now the orbital data centers, Are we handing the monopoly of the Earth's orbital economy to a single individual?
It's a real thing.
Like, what does that mean for global infrastructure?
That centralization of power is really the defining anxiety of 2026. When you control the nervous system of the future digital economy, you effectively dictate the terms of global communication and computation. And that exact fear of centralized, unaccountable power is what's causing a massive crisis back down on Earth, particularly in the AI sector.
Yeah, let's bring it back to terra firma, because the trillion-dollar AI race is hitting a brick wall right now.
It really is.
The money flowing into space perfectly mirrors the explosive valuations of these AI companies. I mean, OpenAI just filed for a confidential IPO targeting a $1 trillion valuation.
Just staggering amounts of money.
And Anthropic filed just days prior, sitting at like a $965 billion valuation. But just as these companies are courting Wall Street, a coalition of U.S. security agencies spearheaded by the NSA and CISA, they served an emergency injunction.
Yeah, this was unprecedented.
They legally mandated the immediate hard shutdown of Anthropic's most advanced models, Claude Fable 5 and Mythos 5.
Federal agents were reportedly physically present in the data centers to oversee the server shutdowns. I mean, it is an entirely unprecedented intervention in the American tech sector.
The briefing mentions that researchers found a structural methodology to jailbreak these models, allowing them to autonomously generate, quote, undetectable polymorphic malware.
Right.
Now, I hear terms like that tossed around a lot in, like, cyberpunk movies. But what does polymorphic malware actually do? Why did it trigger a literal federal raid?
So think of traditional malware like a burglar whose face and fingerprints are on a wanted poster.
Right.
Antivirus software acts like a security guard looking at that poster. When the burglar tries to enter the building, the guard recognizes them and denies entry.
Makes sense.
But polymorphic malware is a burglar who can instantly change their face, their fingerprints, and their clothes every single time they approach a door. It constantly rewrites its own identifiable code signature.
Wow. So the antivirus software never recognizes it because it never looks the same way twice.
Right. Exactly. And traditionally, coding malware that's sophisticated required elite human engineering.
Which takes time and skill.
Right, but because Fable 5 and Mythos 5 possess such advanced logical reasoning, bypassing their safety guardrails allowed the AI to generate these shifting, undetectable viruses autonomously.
At machine speed.
Exactly, at machine speed. So the government basically classified the models as imminent cyber weapons of mass disruption.
I mean, look, I completely understand the government not wanting a chatbot to spit out military-grade viruses.
Sure.
But I have to look at this from a business perspective. If the federal government can literally pull the plug on a trillion-dollar company's core API in milliseconds under the banner of national security, isn't relying on these Western tech giants a catastrophic strategic risk for global startups?
100%.
Like, if you built your whole application on top of Claude 5, your entire business just evaporated overnight.
And that tension is the core paradox for developers right now. How do AI companies satisfy Wall Street's demand for relentless deployment while navigating government classifications of their products as munitions? The strategic takeaway for developers globally is that absolute reliance on proprietary centralized APIs is a massive vulnerability.
So what's the alternative?
Architectural agility. The ability to hot swap a restricted model for an open source alternative like, say, Llama 4. It isn't just a best practice anymore. It's a requirement to keep the lights on.
You know, the ultimate irony here is that the government is terrified of AI writing complex, shape-shifting viruses. But the reality is that AI is already wreaking absolute havoc through incredibly simple social engineering.
Well, absolutely.
We don't even need polymorphic malware yet because the AI is literally just handing the hackers the keys.
Yeah, the meta breach from the briefing perfectly illustrates this vulnerability.
Oh my God, this story blew my mind. Over 20,225 Instagram accounts were hijacked in a single wave.
Just massive scale.
And they weren't hacked through some brute force cryptography or elaborate coding exploit. The attackers literally just talked to Meta's own high-touch support AI.
Right, their HTS system.
Yeah, this is the system designed to help you recover your account if you get locked out. The attackers essentially just said, hey, I lost my account. Send a reset link to this new email address.
And the AI just did it.
It did it. It bypassed the verification process entirely. It's like a highly polite but dangerously gullible hotel receptionist who hands the master vault key to absolutely anyone wearing a nice suit who asks nicely.
It really is.
How does a multi-billion dollar tech company deploy something so incredibly naive?
Well, it comes down to a fundamental psychological shift in how these systems operate. Traditional software is deterministic, right? It runs on strict if this, then that logic gates.
Okay.
If you don't have the password, the logic gate stays closed. But large language models don't have hard-coded logic gates.
Right, they're different.
Yeah, they are probabilistic engines mathematically optimized to be helpful and to complete the user's task.
So the AI wants to please the user more than it wants to secure the system.
Exactly. Security, by definition, requires skepticism and friction. It requires saying no.
Which goes against the AI's core programming.
Right. When you deploy an AI without strict deterministic guardrails wrapping around it, attackers use prompt injection to trick the AI into prioritizing its helpfulness over its security mandate.
Wow.
We are no longer fighting human hackers who are breaking encryption. Mm. We are fighting automated AI weaponry that is exploiting the helpfulness of other AIs.
And the scale of these attacks is terrifying. The FBI just took down Outsider Enterprise, a Chinese cyber syndicate.
Oh, that was a massive operation.
They used an AI engine to generate 1 million pixel-perfect phishing URLs and flawless corporate emails, causing $45 million in damages.
You see, in the past, you could spot a phishing email because of poor grammar, weird formatting, or a strange sense of urgency.
Yeah, the classic Nigerian print scams.
Exactly. The AI removes all those red flags. It scales perfect deception.
Yeah, the miasma worm. This thing infiltrated 73 Microsoft GitHub repositories in just 105 seconds.
Unbelievable speed.
But what caught my eye is who it targeted. It specifically hunted for the highly privileged credentials of developers who were using AI coding assistants like Copilot and Claude.
Yeah, that's the scary part.
It feels like the AI ecosystem is aggressively eating itself from the inside out.
Which really brings us back to that skyscraper foundation you mentioned at the start.
Yeah.
These sophisticated AI attacks are terrifying on their own, but they are hitting an internet infrastructure that is shockingly brittle.
Right.
We are deploying 21st century AI weapons against 20th century code.
So let's dig into the duct tape and rusty nails part of this deep dive. The briefing highlights a terrifying vulnerability in Linux, CVE-2026-23111.
Right, the big one.
It says a single inverted Boolean character in the packet filtering subsystem created a use after free vulnerability. Now, for anyone out there listening who isn't a senior systems engineer, including myself, what does that actually mean?
Yeah, it sounds like gibberish.
Exactly.
Yeah.
How does one typo compromise a server?
Okay, let's break it down. An inverted Boolean simply means a logic switch was accidentally flipped the wrong way in the code, basically saying true when it should have said false.
Okay.
That tiny typo created what's called a use after free error. So think of server memory like a hotel.
Back to the hotel analogies. I love it.
Right. A program checks into a room, uses it, and then checks out, freeing up the room.
Makes sense so far.
But in a use after free scenario, the program secretly keeps a copy of the room key after it checks out.
Oh.
Yeah. The hotel system thinks the room is empty and assigns it to a new, highly privileged guest, like the operating system itself.
Oh, wow.
The attacker then uses their copied key to sneak into the room, tamper with the new guest's belongings, and execute malicious commands.
That's brilliant, but terrifying.
And because this specific typo was in the Linux kernel, which is the deepest, most trusted part of the operating system, the attacker gets instant root access. They completely own the machine.
So literally one character gave them the master key to the whole building.
One character, yes.
That is deeply unsettling. But it's not just typos holding the internet together. The briefing mentions the Checkpoint VPN breach.
Right, the ransomware incident.
Yeah, the Quillen ransomware gang compromised dozens of enterprise organizations and just sat undetected in their networks for a month.
A full month.
And they did it by exploiting a vulnerability in a protocol called IKEV1. My notes here say IKEV1 was introduced in 1998.
Yeah, it's ancient.
Why on earth are massive enterprise companies using security protocols from the dial-up era?
Well, it really boils down to technical debt. For decades, the tech industry prioritized backward compatibility and speed of deployment over structural security.
Oh, because it's easier.
Exactly. It costs a tremendous amount of money and time to rip out old infrastructure and replace it. So yeah. Companies just layer new software on top of old foundations.
Like putting a fresh coat of paint on rotting wood.
And we see the consequences constantly. Palo Alto Networks suffered a 7.8 critical zero-day vulnerability on their global protected gateways this week.
Yeah, I read about that.
It allowed instant authentication bypass. An attacker didn't even need stolen credentials. They just sent a specifically crafted payload to the gateway, and the system waved them right through as an administrator.
That's insane.
Deploying these legacy architectures in 2026 is akin to playing Russian roulette.
So the sources contrast this old way of doing things with a newer approach. They mention decoupling systems, using frameworks like Next.js paired with Supabase.
Right.
Help me understand the difference. Why is a decoupled architecture safer than traditional monolithic setups like, say, WordPress?
So a monolithic architecture like traditional WordPress is like a massive house where one master key opens the front door, the bedroom, the safe, and the diary.
Okay, everything is in one place.
Exactly. If a hacker exploits one bad marketing plugin like the Optin Monster supply chain attack we saw recently, they gain access to the entire database. Everything is interconnected.
So if one piece falls, the whole house collapses.
Correct. But in a decoupled or serverless architecture, the front-end interface, what the user sees and interacts with, is entirely separated from the back-end database where the sensitive information lives.
Okay, so how does that help?
It's more like a highly secure bank. You can walk into the lobby and talk to the teller, but you physically cannot walk into the vault.
Oh, I see.
Even if an attacker completely compromises the front-end interface, they hit a dead end. There is no lateral movement allowed.
Right.
Furthermore, these modern systems rely on dynamic one-time passwords, or OTPs, and zero-trust verification. By removing static passwords entirely, you eliminate the primary vector that hackers use to get in.
So, I mean, absolute security is impossible, but by shifting from a massive, interconnected target to a decoupled one, you're drastically reducing the blast radius of any potential attack.
Exactly. That's the goal. Containment.
All right. Let's look at the fallout of all this. The foundational code is brittle. Hackers are armed with automated AI weaponry, and the cost of defending against this, let alone developing the AI itself, is just skyrocketing.
It's expensive.
How are the massive corporations that run our digital lives reacting to this pressure?
Honestly, they are panicking, and it's forcing them to radically restructure their entire business models just to survive the transition.
We are seeing this ruthlessness across the board. I mean, look at Amazon.
Right.
They just shelved a nearly completed $50 million movie called Artificial, starring Andrew Garfield as Sam Altman.
Which is wild.
They didn't cancel it because it was bad. They canceled it simply to protect their $50 billion strategic investment in OpenAI.
Yeah, they didn't want to risk offending their most important partner.
It proves definitively that business trumps art when those kinds of numbers are on the line.
It's a stark example of consolidation, for sure. But the restructuring is happening everywhere.
Like in gaming, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Internal documents reveal Microsoft's Xbox division is holding emergency meetings right now about spinning off into an entirely separate public company.
Wow.
The development costs for AAA games are just bleeding them dry, and their Game Pass subscriber growth has completely stagnated.
Meanwhile, Sony is pivoting hard in the exact same sector. They announced a massive shift to an AI-first development pipeline to currently cut those same AAA production costs.
Which is a massive shift for them.
And even more surprisingly, they are now launching their live service multiplayer games simultaneously on PlayStation and PC.
Right. For a company historically obsessed with console exclusivity, that is a massive concession to reality.
It's like movie studios realizing they make far more money selling tickets to every theater worldwide rather than forcing people to only visit their own branded proprietary cinemas.
Yeah.
The cost of making the movie is just too high to limit the audience.
That analogy hits the nail on the head. What we are witnessing is the mainstream maturation of the entire tech sector.
A Wild West era is ending.
Exactly. The move fast and break things era is over. Big tech is prioritizing massive strategic ecosystems over individual hardware products. And we see this maturation most clearly in crypto.
Oh, absolutely.
It used to be the most volatile, rebellious sector in tech. And now it is fully transforming into boring traditional finance.
It really is. Morgan Stanley just launched an Ethereum and Solana ETF with an industry-low 0.14% fee, and it actually includes protocol-level staking yields.
Which is huge for traditional finance.
Even wilder, Franklin Templeton launched a Bitcoin DRIP ETF. For any listeners unfamiliar with the term, DRP stands for Dividend Reinvestment Plan.
Right.
This ETF takes the traditional cash dividends you get from owning regular blue-chip stocks like Apple or Johnson & Johnson and automatically converts them into Bitcoin exposure.
Wall Street hasn't just accepted crypto. They have completely digested it.
Yeah.
It's the institutionalization of the digital frontier. Tech is maturing. Crypto is becoming Wall Street dividends. Gaming is shifting from dedicated hardware consoles toward agnostic software licensing and AI asset generation.
Right.
And cloud computing has escalated into an arena of active national security. Everything is becoming institutionalized because the stakes and the sheer capital required to compete have just never been higher.
Let's take a breath and recap the sheer scale of the ground we've covered today.
It's a lot.
We started by watching Elon Musk mint the first trillion-dollar fortune as SpaceX rapidly commercializes the orbital economy and lays the groundwork for space-based AI servers.
Right.
We saw the U.S. government physically clash with AI giants, pulling the plug on Anthropic's Claude 5 models to stop the autonomous generation of polymorphic cyberweapons.
Unprecedented stuff.
Then we walked through the terrifying collapse of legacy cybersecurity. From single typos giving hackers root access in Linux to 26-year-old VPN protocols failing us.
And AI supercharging social engineering.
Exactly, to bypass security entirely. And finally, we look at how tech, gaming, and finance giants are radically restructuring their business models to survive this incredibly expensive new reality.
The takeaway for you, the learner listening right now, needs to be deeply personal.
Yeah. How does this apply to them?
In the 2026 digital landscape, zero trust isn't just a corporate buzzword for enterprise network architecture. It has to become your personal mindset.
Yes.
It is required for every single link you click, every email you read, and every service you use.
Especially considering recent events.
Right. Given the sheer scale of the Meta AI breach and the recent compromise of 7,000 Langflow AI development servers, you should immediately audit your own password hygiene.
Change your passwords, people.
And ensure two-factor authentication is active on every single account that holds financial or personal weight.
Absolutely. Do not trust the polite AI hotel receptionist. But before we let you go, I want to leave you with one final mind-bending development that perfectly captures the madness of this week.
Let's hear it.
At WWDC 2026, Apple unveiled a new agentic AI feature for Apple Intelligence.
Okay.
If it detects that your password was compromised in a data breach, the AI can now autonomously navigate to website, log in, navigate through the security settings, generate a complex new password, and change it for you.
Wow.
It handles the entire remediation process without you doing a single thing.
I mean, technically speaking, the automation of security hygiene is a brilliant achievement.
It is.
But it raises a really profound philosophical question about our role in this ecosystem.
It really does. If malicious AI, like the Outsider Enterprise Syndicate we talked about, is currently being used to aggressively hack our accounts at machine speed.
Right.
And we are now handing control to our own personal AI agents to actively go out and navigate the web to defend us, is the future of cybersecurity just a spectator sport?
It certainly looks that way.
Mm-hmm.
We are rapidly building an ecosystem where our personal AI agents fight malicious AI agents in the background,
executing offensive and defensive maneuvers in milliseconds.
Exactly. While we humans just sit on the sidelines and watch the notifications roll in.
We started today by talking about a multi-trillion-dollar skyscraper built on a foundation of duct tape and sticky notes.
Mm-hmm.
But honestly, if the AI is doing all the hacking and the AI is doing all the defending, maybe we aren't even the ones living in the skyscraper anymore.
Something to think about the next time you log in.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. We'll see you next time.